You are listening to Through the Stage Door at the Majestic Theater on WMNH 95.3. We're a biweekly program that celebrates what's happening at the Majestic Theater on stage, as well as the musical sounds coming from the Ted Herbert Music School. For more information about the Majestic Theater or the Ted Herbert Music School, you can contact us at 669-7469 or visit us on the web at www.majestictheater.net or www.tedherbert.com. My name is Robert Dion. I'm the Artistic Director of Majestic and the Administrator for Ted Herbert's. And with me in the studio today, we have a treat. We have we always talk about theater stuff, and it's great because once in a while we actually get to talk about music school stuff. So in the studio with me today is Tricia Craig, who's our flute teacher. Hi, Trish.
Hi, Rob. I'm psyched.
And so we have a lot to talk about today, but as you know, I always like to try and talk about the shows that are coming up, and there's always plentiful amounts of shows, especially this time of year. I think we have 5 shows in rehearsal right now, and it's a very, very busy space. But we have our final dinner theater of the year. Do not email me in August and ask when the next dinner theater is, because when you do, I'm going to tell you it's not until 2020. It feels weird saying 2020. But we have one more dinner theater performance at the Executive Court. If you want to look at the program online before this program, we talked to cast members and director of the dinner theater performance of the comedy, Anybody Out There, happening April 5th through the 7th. It is fast approaching, so, but like I said, look back in the programs. You'll hear our interview with the cast from that on our last program. And then our next program, we're going to be interviewing people for our other April show, because, you know, might as well just do 2 shows in April, at our Manchester Studio Theater, and that is a comedy, a Southern Fried wedding comedy called Dearly Beloved. And like I said, stay tuned for our next program, because we'll definitely have actors and possibly a director for that show on. So lots of stuff happening. As always, go to the website. That's what I do. That's how I keep everything straight. And a lot of people know you hear these programs, you hear us talking about all the theater stuff that we do, and then you realize that actually there's a whole other thing that's happening at 880 Page Street, and that is the Ted Herbert Music School, which the Majestic Theater has owned since the beginning of 2016. And we've got some great teachers working for us, and a lot of them, some of them have been with Ted Herbert's, actually, not you, Trish, but some of them have been with Ted Herbert's almost as long as I've been alive, which is kind of weird, not quite. we're at the 880 Page Street location now, our old building. We were just talking about how our old building is becoming apartments, and which is kind of cool. I can't wait to see what they do in there. But lots of great things happening. But let's welcome Trish Craig jump right into that, because I have a feeling we're going to have no problem talking about all the great things that are happening.
Rob and I could talk, right? I was trying to figure out how long I've been at Ted's, and I think it's upwards of 25 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Because you taught in the basement, too, right?
I did. Yep. I taught in the basement, yeah.
Oh,
and
geez.
Ted used to walk around and say hello, and yep. It was in his family. I loved Marlene and Mark and Thad, so I've been there for a long time. It's a good legacy.
I was just talking to Mark and Marlene through text, because I'll tell you, if you're downtown, this is wicked cool. We thought for sure with the old sign on the old building on Elm Street, it was like, oh, it's going to end up in the dumpster. It's going to end up in the dumpster. We should maybe call them and find out if we can have it. Well, they took the old Ted Herbert sign off the front of the Elm Street building, and they worked it into the plans for the design of the new lobby for the apartment. So if you walk by, it's all lit up on the inside wall of the lobby. It's really, really cool. And, you know, we're thrilled, too, because it also proves the legacy that Ted Herbert had for music in Manchester. I mean, there's lots of other places that do music and theater and all that stuff, but I'll tell you, Ted Herbert's legacy does live on. And Ted Herbert Music School is 60 years old this year, and we're going to do a big celebration of that this summer and beyond. So 60 years old. Can you imagine that?
It's exciting. And Ted himself was a legend. He did big bands throughout the region. I run into musicians all the time who worked with Ted and knew
everybody.
So he was a force. He was a big deal in the region. So I'm psyched that you just told me about the sign. I'm really excited
it's really cool.
A tribute to him and his family. It's great.
You know, and Mark and Marlene, who ran the school for many, many years before Majestic took it over, and Mark and Marlene retired from the school, were thrilled when I sent them the pictures. I was like, this is really cool. I was leaving the studio. It was like 11 o'clock at night, and I happened to drive by, like, oh, they took the paper off the windows of the old lobby, and I saw the Ted. I was like, I literally pulled over and parked and went over and took pictures. I'm like, this is really cool. So I will tell you, I did take pictures of that. If you aren't downtown, check out our Facebook page. I'm going to put those in the Ted Herbert Facebook page on Facebook. And like I said, join the Facebook page too. You don't have to take lessons at Ted's or be part of music at Ted's to be on the Facebook page, because we always post really little cool things. We share events. We talk about events that are happening at our space, recitals and whatnot, most of which, all of our recitals are free. So it's one of those things you can kind of give you an extra resource of stuff that's happening. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to get too far without talking about what you do, Trish, because 25 years, I can't get over that.
Isn't that crazy?
25 years.
When I do this math, I can't believe that I'm old enough to have worked someplace for 25 years.
Yeah, because I started at Ted's in 95 or 96. So you were there right before me then.
I guess. I guess so.
But I think back then, it's like I was there one day, you were there one day.
Right.
And then it's... tell everyone what you do. What do you do at Ted's?
Well, so I'm the flute teacher, and I've been teaching for 150 years.
You look good for 150.
Thank you so much.
You really do. You look good.
And I teach students of all ages and levels. I have a master's degree in performance on flute, so I've helped students even applying to master's programs when they're preparing their auditions. But I start flute students as young as 6 years old, and some people find that a little surprising, but if they're physically big enough and they want to do it, then 6 years old can work out fine. They just go slowly. And the nice thing about private lessons, you know this, Rob, is that we're one-on-one with the student. And so whatever that student's needs are, that's what we can address. And whatever that student's communication style or learning style is, we can teach that way. So it's really, I think it's the most special thing to teach one-on-one.
And it's not, it's not one of those things where, all right, this is the routine program for the student. I don't teach flute anymore. I taught flute at Ted Herbert's for many, many years, and life happens, right? And now I'm teaching voice and piano, and I can tell you with all my students, each student's different.
Right.
And I know you're in the same thing, too, where it's like, there's no, surefire way. I mean, obviously, you're teaching the same techniques and whatnot, but you're not, it's not like, okay, all right, now we're going to, okay, every week we have to get to this, and we have to, each student's at their own pace. And I find that's, as a teacher, that's the most rewarding and the biggest challenge, is that you're, constantly trying to, how can I make this student better and more confident? I mean, for me, as a voice teacher, confidence is the big thing.
Yeah,
that's hard. I know you've seen some of that, too, where it's, teaching that confidence and making a kid feel good about what they're doing. And you've had some students you've had for some time now, too. It's funny. A couple of them have grown up.
Right.
I'm like, oh, goodness gracious, little so-and-so has gotten older.
Well, some of my former students are now music educators in the region, and it's just so exciting to see them succeeding and having students of their own. And I love that element of it. But also, just as I'm teaching, I've had students from as young as sixth grade, I think, winning things on the national scene and regionally. And I have students in Allstate all the time. And in one year, I had Allstate students in three states. I had New Hampshire Allstate, Massachusetts Allstate, and Maine Allstate.
Oh, geez.
All in one year. So it's and I don't talk about that because I'm trying to push people to I don't put pressure on them, but as they refine their skills, they just get excited to do other things. And when they take these auditions, they gain audition experience. Mm-hmm. And then if they get in, then the level of playing when they get to play in these festivals is so exciting for them. So then they come back all jazzed up.
And, yeah.
It rubs off on the others.
Have you ever had any students do Jazz Allstate? Do they take flute players in Jazz Allstate in New Hampshire yet?
They do not take flute players.
Oh, shame.
But at Ted's, one of my flute students got into Allstate on bass. She's a bass player, too. She studies with John, too.
Right.
So she got to do a little bit of both. A dear friend of mine is an Israeli jazz flutist, and he comes through every so often and works with my students. So a lot of my students have a little jazz experience, or at least exposure. But
The jazz thing's interesting, because it's one of those, I was in vocal jazz Allstate, I think in New Hampshire, one of the very first years they had
it. Oh, cool,
And now it's this big thing now.
Huge.
That's why I wasn't sure if they took flute players yet or not.
No, there's just not usually parts in the big band setting.
Well, they should write parts,
hello. Perhaps.
So the flute students, like I said, we typically at Ted Herbert's don't take kids younger than seven, but obviously you just heard Trish say that if you are a six-year-old and you want to learn flute, obviously you can just give us a call. If you want to take lessons from Trish, there's many ways to do it. It's very easy. Our website's very user-friendly. It tells you everything expected about lessons as far as how the procedure works, mm-hmm. so you know what you're getting into. But if you go to tedherbert.com, you can definitely request lessons that way. You can also see how much it costs and all that stuff and how often lessons are. You can read Trisha's bio. I didn't read Trisha's bio because I figured, why? I get you here and we're talking. Why? Yeah. I'm not going to sit here, Trisha Craig.
Right.
We can read it online. Yeah, you can read it online.
Right.
But you can put a form in through there. Or if you're not an internet person, you know, just give us a call. We just booked a student, a SAC student who's in his 80s.
Oh, great.
Yeah, with Matt
Langley.
I love
adult students. In fact, that's one of the things I wanted to talk about a little bit, because I do teach students of all ages, and my adult students are just so rewarding because they've always wished they could do it.
Mm-hmm.
And even
or
if they
might have done it in high school and then left it. And,
right, that's what I was just about to say. Yeah, some of them haven't played in years, or they always wished they could. I have a new student that I'm trying to connect with whose daughter played flute for a long time, and now the flute's sitting around, and he'd like to take flute lessons and give it a try. So I love adult learners, and I love connecting with them, and they're a whole different element as far as their fears and their worries.
Yep.
So many adult students say, am I too old to do this? And I say,
too old?
What, too old to do what? You're learning.
Yeah.
It's better. Any age is good. And people think that the adults learn slower, but I find that they're more tuned in to what you're... So my adult students learn just as fast, or if not faster than
the thing is, especially with adult students, and I guess with kids students too, is that, you know, we're not a stuffy music school. And I'm very proud of that because, you know, if like say you play flute and you want to become a performance and playing symphony orchestras, yes, we do that. But if you're just playing for fun,
yes,
we do that.
Yeah.
If you're just gonna pick it up and I want to be able to play a couple tunes, yes, we do that. So it's one of those things where it's like voice students, and I'm not making everybody a Broadway star. Now we've had kids that have gone and did great stuff after doing Majestic, mm-hmm. but that's not our goal. Our goal is to give the kids that opportunity to celebrate theater and music and have fun with it.
And we help them to reach their own goals.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
If their goal is to play at church, then that's the goal we try to help them reach. You know?
I have a couple church cantors that I train vocally.
Oh, cool.
You know,
yeah,
they come
that's
in,
so
they,
great.
We go through the stuff for the weekend. I had another gentleman who took lessons from me for a while. His whole goal was he wanted to sing a certain song for his wife on their anniversary.
Oh,
that was his goal.
Yeah.
And we did it. We had a great time. We sang other things. It was, you know, so don't let that hold you back. Don't be intimidated by any means on age or whatever. Like I said, we have students in their 80s and we have students that are 7 years old. I think we have an acting kid right now who's like 7 years
old.
Wow,
that's cool.
So it's, you know, it's, you can definitely, so you talked a little bit about, you know, private lessons, but there's other things that you do too, which is, and I think that's, I always feel very proud to say that Ted Herbert instructors, they don't just come in and teach and leave. They all have musician jobs. They're either professional musicians, they teach at several schools, they play professionally. And I think that that's important for a teacher to be able to, you know, no matter what student at, is to have that real life experience.
Yeah. And expertise on their instrument.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, and someone that's not just like, oh, yeah, you know, I got my college degree back in 1972 and I haven't played since. You know, and honestly, that's one reason why you and I have had this conversation that I don't teach flute anymore. One, I've got you and you're more than capable to do it. So it's like, I don't really need to. But I don't play anymore, you know, and it's unfortunate, but I just don't play anymore.
Yeah, you've got to be doing it.
And
to
if I were
really
to teach again,
help.
I'd have to play more.
Yeah.
I have to play more.
Yeah.
So,
can play together, Rob.
I know.
I say that all the time.
Take the
air.
Yeah, take those selected duets books out.
That's
and just
right.
Play through them.
That's right.
But you do other things, ensembles.
So I'm a conductor, and I conduct the Northeast Massachusetts Youth Orchestra's flute choirs. It's a big title, but I conduct both of those groups, and they're fabulous. Fabulous. It's an audition-based group. I conduct the Farmington, New Hampshire Community Band, and it's a community band. It's kids from, there are kids from high school all the way through senior citizens in their 80s.
Now, was that the one that Don Goldstein had played in, or is that another
band? No, that was Center Harbor.
Center Harbor, okay.
And I sub in Center Harbor sometimes.
Yep.
Yeah, I play there with Carlos Martinez as the conductor there.
Oh,
he's a great guy. Just the best.
Didn't he run Upper New Hampshire for years,
I
think? He's a vocal teacher, too.
Yeah, he's really something. And he's the conductor in Center Harbor, but when he can't do something, I get to sub for him.
Cool.
I did a concert one time as the conductor, and I've run some rehearsal stuff, but I do play with them too. So
wish I had time for community band.
Community band is so fun. So conducting is my other passion. I also perform around the region. I've got a couple of concerts that I love to do that are for flute alone, mm-hmm. and they work really great in libraries and senior centers and things like that. And I take the flute from the Baroque period, from when it was a little wooden instrument, all the way to modern stuff where we make all kinds of extended crazy sounds and things like that.
Yep.
And it ends up being a real blast. So I do those things. And then I have another business on the side.
All right. And we'll talk. We're going to get to that,
yeah,
too. We're definitely
yeah.
going to get to that. But so obviously they can get in touch with me by calling Ted Herberts, tedherbert.com, or email us through the site, or give us a call at 669-7469. Or you have a website as well. Your
website?
Yeah,
TrishaCraigFlutist.com.
Oh, that's easy to remember.
Yeah, Trisha's with an SH. So okay. TrishaCraigFlutist.com.
All
yep.
right. And you can definitely get there through Ted Herberts as
yeah,
well.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, I want to make sure you know that we're talking with Trisha Craig today, who is the flute teacher at the Ted Herbert Music School. One of the many things that she does, one of the many hats that she wears, who's been a flute teacher with us for, we just discovered, like over 25 years, I think.
Yeah. yeah. yeah.
And does a great job for us. And as you know, at Ted Herberts, we do teach lessons, every lesson, every instrument, every age, every ability level. So even though we're highlighting Trish today, you know, check out the website if, you know, we do everything from music and dance and even acting lessons. So check us out, tedherbert.com, or give us a call at 669-7469.
And I just have to say, when you teach at a place like Ted's, just hearing the lessons going on
yeah.
in the other rooms, it's so exciting when I hear that some great stuff goes on in the trumpet room.
Mm-hmm.
The drum instructor is just the best.
Yes,
and
Jeff's
so
cool.
Yeah, so we hear all kinds of things at the same time, so it's got a great energy.
We try to soundproof, and it's funny because at the old building it's funny because the building was so big and cavernous, mm-hmm. and I always said at the old building everybody had their own wing,
yeah,
you know,
right.
it's like nobody. And so it's what I liked from moving from Elm Street to the Pastry facility. One, it's a nicer facility. It's newer. It's better maintained.
It's nice.
You know, but at the same time, too, it's like it takes me back to that old time when we were down in the basement at Ted's. Not in the bad way basement, but in a way of like you could hear it. Like you said,
yeah, it was like
happening.
A little community
yeah,
down there.
It's like, oh, what's this person doing? What's
yeah.
And it wasn't distracting enough to do, you could still do what you need to do with a student, but it was one of those, it was more of a community.
Yeah, it reminds me of the practice rooms when I was at Ithaca College or
yep.
at Longy School of Music. You know,
yep.
that you can hear other people, you can interact with them. I've even had students ask about what's going on. Like a couple weeks ago, one of my students was asking what the weird sound was out of the trumpet room.
Oh,
and
geez,
so,
yeah.
So
oh,
we
they were doing that tuning thing,
they
weren't
were doing
they?
Harmonics
yeah.
with the buzzing.
Yeah.
And so I went over and I said, can we come in? And he's like, sure. So we went over and got a little harmonics lesson
yeah.
over in the trumpet room. So it's very enriching for the students. They learn all kinds of stuff there.
When he does the harmonic thing, I always joke with Vinny DiStefano, who is our trumpet teacher. I said, because I'm on the other side of the wall of him, uh-huh. and I'm like, my wall shakes. You know, it's one of those, thank God I have good fillings, because, but it's, you know, it's a great exercise, and it shows that teachers are doing stuff that's cool and fun,
right?
You know, to get to the goals that the student has.
Yeah.
Now, you also, like you talked about, you have another business, which is yeah. actually new, because you owned a music school for many, many years.
Yes, I owned a music school on the Seacoast for 22 years.
And then
yeah.
you retired from that.
I retired from that. So, yeah, so I know exactly what you go through, Rob. But I did. I retired from that. It was a big goal. I succeeded in it and decided to move on. So I teach privately on the Seacoast. But one of the things that I developed at my music school was college counseling. I had recruited for New England Conservatory for a while, and I learned all the ins and outs of getting into college, whether it's for music or for something else, but using your musical skills to
mm-hmm.
get big scholarship money. And so
sure.
I was counseling students on this and guiding them through the process. They were all getting into their top choices, whether for music or for something else, and several won full tuition
wow.
to college. It was
that's a good one, especially
yeah.
in 2019.
Yeah, one of the
yeah,
kids
yeah.
Got full tuition to play in the orchestra, and she came to me and she said, I was hoping they'd let me play in the orchestra.
Yeah.
So I started a secondary business where I am counseling college students and speaking at music places to tell parents the importance of musical training for their kids. And that business is called Music Builds Lives. We're on Facebook and on the web. We have a website.
Okay, what's the website?
Musicbuildslives.com.
You keep it nice and easy.
Yeah,
this is
so
good.
Easy.
Yeah,
yeah,
this is good. And you're doing a thing at our space this
yeah.
weekend. And,
yeah.
and obviously, this is we're taping this on the 27th, so you might hear this after the fact. So
mm-hmm.
if for some reason you do miss the workshop that's happening this weekend, then check out Trisha's website and check out her on Facebook, and I'm sure that you guys can connect and get something. But what is the
yeah.
thing that you're doing on Saturday?
So
at our
on
space?
Saturday, we're doing a live resume building workshop. Where music resumes, well, as you know, Rob, with theater resumes, music resumes are a little different than business resumes.
Yep.
And so we're doing a workshop for students to develop their music resume to get to figure out what to put on it, what they need to add. And then at the end, the second half of it is a sound painting masterclass with Dennis Schaefer is going to come in and teach some sound painting, which is hand signals that show you what to do musically, and they create music right on the spot. It's a crazy experience. Wow. It's so cool. So the kids who come to the resume building workshop will leave with a new masterclass on their resume from that day. They get to put sound painting right on their resume.
Diversify. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I tell theater kids that all the time. It's like, you know, we have dozens and dozens and hundreds of kids every year. Too many. We're always adding more programs for mm-hmm. kids. And I always tell them, I said, you know what? Diversify the resume. Anything you can do, you know, like, you know, once we haven't done a lot of theater classes recently, but we've done things in the past, like, you know, makeup, stage makeup, yeah. and combat,
yeah.
you know,
oh,
and stuff
cool.
like that.
Yeah.
So as far as the workshop on Saturday, what time is it? How much does it cost?
It's from 3 o'clock to 7.
Okay.
It's $47 per person, but the student per student, but they can bring their parents with them and their private teacher if they want to. It's just sort of 47 per family or what have you. And they can register that through my Facebook page or the website, musicbuildslives.com.
And that's on Saturday, March 30th.
Yep.
And that's at the Majestic Studio Theater on 880 Page Street.
It's a great space.
And I'll tell you, it's a maxed out space. Oh, my goodness gracious. It's like, I wish we had two of them. So definitely check that out. And we also have theater shows there, as you know. And the lessons all do happen at the 880 Page Street location. There's lots of things happening. And I love that you said, as far as it's great to hear different things. And I think it's great for the theater people, too, is that, you know, we have five shows rehearsing at once sometimes in four
it's
rehearsals.
Crazy.
And
so
lessons
much
going
energy.
On. And it's, you know, I think, how do we ever live in that small Elm Street space after being where we are now? So it's great to be able to hear all the different things. But let's talk about music. I mean, do you teach a certain type of music, or is it open for, you know, like, can a student come in and say, I want to play jazz stuff, or I want to play this stuff, or I want to.
Yeah.
So what's your procedure for that as far as?
Well, so first I teach them how to play the flute. You know, you have to be able to operate the instrument and get a good tone.
Okay.
And there's like a lot of basics that you would use for any style of playing. I do have a Baroque background, so we do a lot of Baroque repertoire.
Now, Baroque, for those that don't know, tell us what Baroque is.
Baroque is music from the 1650 to 1750, and the flute was much different then.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like to play Baroque repertoire in a Baroque style.
Okay, yep.
My students come in with all kinds of stuff, and I actually specialized in 20th century bizarro.
You love your 20th century.
I really do. So, but you know what? It's so fun. I have a little fourth grade boy right now, and if I make a weird noise on the flute, he wants to learn it too.
Yep.
So he comes in with all kinds of invented sounds and things, and it's brilliant. Like, that's part of creation, right? So we do whatever the students are really interested in. My top student at TEDS is really into some of the really harder 20th century things, Mussorgsky and stuff like that.
Yeah.
She just digs it out and plays it like crazy. So, but then other people like the more pretty lyrical things or what have you. And so I really like to help them develop what they're interested in and maybe expose them to some other stuff too, so they're more well-rounded. But we even do some jazz and some creating your own music. I like to do theme and variations, like create your own variations, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. Just whatever the student, whatever will engage the student and keep them excited.
So I bet that because you're out there, You're not just teaching, you're doing,
mm-hmm.
You're performing. A lot of the stuff that you get, some of the 20th century stuff, you get because you're in it.
Yeah.
You're in the business. You
right.
know, it's not one of those like, oh, well, you know, I'm going to throw you this piece that I learned. You know, and it's interesting because each teacher is different and all that. And I don't, you know, as you know, I don't micromanage teaching styles.
Mm-hmm.
I think every teacher is different.
I love that about the school.
But you know, I mean, it allows each student to get what makes them click.
Yeah.
And same thing with the teachers. But it's interesting to hear some of the different stuff. Like, I mean, I know you played a contemporary piece at one of the recitals.
Yeah.
Did they even call it contemporary at that point, or was it 20th century?
I think that one we would call contemporary. Pretty
okay,
much
yeah.
it was written in the 90s, 1990s.
Okay, yep.
And I played it at the recital last spring, maybe. And that was by Catherine Hoover, and she just passed away last
mm-hmm.
fall. So a lot of the composers that I like to play are living, and they're so generous with their time. So a lot of my students have actually had Skype time with some of these composers.
That's
with
cool.
Melvin Loff or
yep.
Roger Pristalski or Ricardo Matosinhos out of Portugal. They've actually worked with my students on
Now let's
Skype.
Talk about a traditional, though, like, because I know in your training, Robert Willoughby.
Robert Willoughby
Tell me about,
was
Robert,
my guru.
Yep.
And I have a really special Robert Willoughby story. He was the top flute professor in North America. At one point, he had former students in I think, almost every major symphony in the country. And he's just a brilliant, gifted teacher. And I met him by mistake when I was playing a bridal show in a mall. And I needed a teacher. And I was like, wow, how do I get to study with you? And he goes, well, you have to audition. And I said, may I take an audition? He goes, go ahead right now. And so here I was in the Fox Run Mall, and I had to audition for Mr. Willoughby. So I ended up getting to study with him for the summers for 8 years before I studied with him for 6 years before I auditioned for and won a spot with him as a master's candidate at Longy. So most people got to study with Bob for 4 years or 2 years for their masters. I have 8 years under my belt with Mr. Willoughby. Six of them were out of his home. I loved him, and he passed away about a year ago. Yeah. Okay. And in his 90s, I got to attend his 90th birthday party and his 95th birthday party. And so he's quite a legend, and his students are doing amazing things. And I teach in his style, and his style is really all about beautiful phrases, flexible embouchure, which is how you make a sound with your mouth, and doing whatever you need to do in order to sound good, basically. Yep. So his rules were pretty flexible, as long as you could make stuff sound amazing. So
it's nice to be able to study with someone that was such a master. I mean, like I said, I don't even teach, you know, flute anymore, but I know Robert Willoughby.
Yeah,
you know, I know Robert Willoughby.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, most flute players that are established and that are doing great things know who Robert Willoughby
right.
was.
So. Yeah. So,
but
such
I knew that you had studied with him in grad work, so I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
So we're almost starting to run out of time.
Okay.
So I want to make sure I give you time to add anything else that we maybe didn't touch, or I would say this is the 28 quickest minutes in radio.
I know, we just flew through it.
But obviously if you want to take lessons from Trish, she does have limited slots available, but she does have some slots available. The best thing to do is to either give us a call at 669-7469, or you can actually go to tedherbert.com and also put in a request in. When you put a request in, you can also make a note there that you're requesting Trish as your flute teacher. If you're a flute student, typically when you come in, that's where we send you anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have any questions, and also you do a trial lesson thing too, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I talk like about to that. Offer a free trial lesson. That
okay.
way the student can just know that it's yep. the right fit, you know? And also the other thing I do is I teach everything about what to do, like how to I teach kids how to practice and how to put their flute together, all so that there's no mystery. They know what to do.
Yep.
And, but yeah, I love to do a trial lesson.
Yeah, so you have a limited amount of trial lessons available. But so if you're listening to this and you maybe played flute in a past life or would like to learn, or you have a flute because your niece played it, or my niece played the flute, I got that flute back. It's somewhere at my house. So, but if you want to take a trial lesson, you can take a trial lesson, and if you like it, then you can register for the school and you can get part of Trisha's schedule. But it's kind of a good way to kind of test drive, if you will, and that way. And not all of our teachers do that, but a few do. So, but Trish, this has been great. I mean, I'm glad
really
you're
fun.
Gonna. We don't really get to talk like this too much,
right.
Anymore because we're both like passing ships, it seems sometimes. But definitely join us at Ted Herbert's. I know we talk a lot out in this program about theater stuff. It's great to have a teacher come in and talk about the great stuff happening on the other side of the hall.
Yeah.
And definitely join us at Ted Herbert's. It's funny, March is Marching Our Schools Month, and we completely. Because all the shows pass through it. But there's going to be great things happening. We're going to have a big barbecue this summer that we just announced for all the teachers and all the students.
Oh, fun.
We're going to be putting that date out soon. But definitely check us out, majestictheater.net or tedherbert.com. Such great things happening. We're very passionate about what we do, and we hope that you'll join us. Remember, the world's a stage, and music is the voice of the soul, and we will see you next time.